It's good to be with you tonight. In terms of I realize this is the pre Christmas Eve service, but welcome to a celebration of a most special birth. And I pray tonight that we would just sense the wonder of what it would have been like to be there on that night, to have been Mary or Joseph or the shepherds or the wise men. May we sense the wonder that about 2,000 years ago, there was born a baby on this earth, one who had always existed. Now think about that. The Bible tells us that this one was with God and he was God, and this one who was God became a human and lived among us for a while. And so what we're looking at tonight is just an account of his early days on earth. And what God has done in the Bible is he's revealed this unseen reality. We would just think, oh, it's just another baby added to the population when this one was born. But God lets us know what the unseen reality was, that when we end up knowing this one who was born, we can have joy in our world today because it's found in him. And so I pray tonight that we learn from those who knew this one best at that time, angels and God's messengers. Before his birth, an angel named Gabriel appeared to a young teenager, probably from 13 through 15 years old. Her name was Mary, and this angel told Mary that she was going to give birth to a son who would be very great and would be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary, you are to name him Jesus. Mary's response was, "May it be done to me according to your word." Apparently, the same angel appeared to another young man. This is a young man this time who was engaged to Mary, and this young man's name was Joseph. And the angel's words to him were, "Marry her. Your wife is going to have a son. He will save his people from their sins. He will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us." This one born would be the fulfillment of God's promise made to the prophet Isaiah about 700 years before this one was born. "The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us." And that same prophet Isaiah also wrote about this coming one, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Joseph, name him Jesus." And Joseph's response was obedience. He married her. Months later, this Jesus was born. On this night, besides Joseph and Mary and probably some animals, the only earthly ones to see baby Jesus on the night of his birth were some shepherds. Angels had appeared to them saying, "I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Jewish Messiah, the Lord of all, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David, and this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby lying in a manger, wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." Other angels joined in, praising God, declaring, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors." The shepherds ran to the village, found the baby, told the young couple the angel's words, and all of them were in awe. The shepherd's response, they acted on the angel's words, and they glorified and praised God for all that they had heard and seen. Eight days after the birth, the baby was circumcised. This is what all Israeli parents did after their sons were born. And guess what they named him at that time? They were obedient, and they gave him the name Jesus. It was the name given him even before he was conceived. Jesus, the one who would be very great and called the Son of the Most High. Jesus, the one whom the Lord God would give the throne of his ancestor David. Jesus, the one whose kingdom would never end. Jesus, the one who would save his people from their sins. The one who was God with us. The one who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The one who was the Savior, the Jewish Messiah, the Lord. His name is Jesus. 40 days after his birth, his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord God. This is what the Lord says: if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered a sacrifice according to the law. At that time, there was a man named Simeon who came to the temple on that very day. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, or Christ. Simeon met Mary and Joseph, and he took the baby into his arms and praised God, saying, "Lord, now I can die in peace. As you promised me, I have seen the Savior you have given to all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." And so Simeon's response was worship. "I've seen your salvation." There was also there that day a woman by the name of Anna. She was 84 years old. She was a faithful servant. And she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about Jesus to everyone who had been waiting for the promised king to come and deliver Jerusalem. Anna's response was also worship. She thanked God and spoke to many of the long-expected Jesus. Sometime later, up to a year or more, some wise men arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose in the east, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed by the question. He felt threatened by a rival king, as was the entire city deeply disturbed. Herod asked the leading priests and teachers of religious law, "Where did the prophet say the Jewish Messiah would be born?" They answered, "In Bethlehem, for this is what the prophet Micah wrote, 'O Bethlehem of Judah, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" The religious leader's response was indifference. They knew where the king of the Jews would be born. They heard that he was born, but they didn't care enough to seek him. Then Herod asked the wise men to meet him. He learned the time when they first saw the star and said, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. When you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him also." King Herod's response, as we learn later on in the scripture, was deception. It was murder. As we later learn, he wanted to kill this potential king. As the wise men went their way, the star again appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child, and notice it's a house now, it's no longer a stable. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they went home another way, because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. And so the wise men's response was to worship and give him gifts. Lord, we do adore you. We worship you. Like the wise men, we fall on our knees before you. And we give you the gifts that you've entrusted to us. We give them back, give you our lives. This Jesus, he grew up. And for a period of up to 3.5 years, he served people and built into his disciples. He would be crucified on a cross for all sins and all people. One of the disciples, Peter, after Jesus had been crucified and raised from the dead and appeared to many eyewitnesses and ascended into heaven, Peter said these words, "People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth by doing wonderful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, with the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to the cross and murdered him. However, God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life again, for death could not keep him in its grip. Let it be clearly known by everyone in Israel that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Jewish Christ." And you bring this up to modern times. Today, he is still Lord. Our attitude toward God is shown in our response to Jesus. And now that you better know who this one is, what is your response? Mary, Joseph, shepherds, Simeon, Anna, religious leaders, Herod, wise men, each had a choice to make concerning this one born. And so do each of us. We have four symbols that we've been using since about last spring here at the church, but these four symbols are a heart and an X and a cross and a question mark. And the heart represents God's love for us. God loves us. He demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ, Jesus, died for us. The X represents us, our sins, we as sinners. The cross represents Jesus' death in our place and for our sins. The question mark represents the question for each of us, how will I respond to this Jesus? The Bible teaches that as we by faith call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, that he comes into our lives. And he gives us a new heart, and he forgives our sins, and he makes us part of God's family and part of his body. And I pray that each one of us here tonight knows him. And let us share this wonderful message of Jesus, to whom all glory and power belong forever. And this Christmas, rather than just concentrating on the birth of Jesus, let us also tell the whole story of who Jesus was and who Jesus still is and what he did. Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, the Lord of all. Father, tonight, if there's anyone here, it might be a child, it might be an elderly person, it might be a man, a woman, it doesn't matter. If there's someone here tonight who would love to receive this Jesus as Lord of his or her life, I pray that they just pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I realize I have missed your mark. I have sinned. And I realize that I was born a sinner. And the only remedy, the only solution is you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your death on the cross in my place and for my sins. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offer. Thank you for the new heart, the new life that you offer. Thank you that you make me part of a new family, not of the human race anymore, but of your family. And you make even us part of your body. You're our head. We're your body. And so thank you for these amazing changes that can take place in any person's life who comes to know Jesus, you, as Lord of his or her life. Thank you that we can pray these things in your name.